You're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com, bringing you the freshest radio in Brooklyn since 2009. Hear directly from chefs to farmers, artists to architects, authors to brewers, and everyone in between. Check out all of our shows on our website or by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store.
In some of my songs, I have casually mentioned the fact that I like to drink beer. This little song is more to the point. Roll out the barrel and lend me your ears. I like beer. It makes me a jolly good fellow. I like beer. It helps me unwind, and sometimes it makes me feel mellow.
Welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carboni. This is July 19th, 2011. Philosophy on Tap is our theme today. And I'm here with Jen Swartman from Blind Tiger and Sean McCain from Victory Beers. How are you guys?
Hey,
doing
it's good
well,
to,
doing
good to
well.
Be here.
Well, Beer Sessions Radio is sponsored by GreatBrewers.com. Learn more about beer, beer information, beer education, GreatBrewers.com. And we're also supported by the people at the Good Beer Seal, GoodBeerSeal.com. This is July Good Beer Month. There's been some cool events, including tonight at Brooklyn Brewery. There's Shoot Town to Brew Town. It's like architects, green designers, and people talking about transforming industrial wasteland into green areas led by microbreweries, which would be kind of neat. What do you guys think of that? Isn't that a cool idea? Go back to all these old towns and say, hey, guys, guess what? Let's put in green industries and led by microbreweries. Is that possible?
Sure. Yeah, I knew nothing about this. It's really interesting.
Yeah, well, when you think about how much of a byproduct that a brewery can put out to help support the green initiatives through agriculture, I mean, that seems like a nice starting off point.
And how brewers historically were like town leaders, so that kind of makes sense,
sure,
too, that connection. And
throw the publican in the middle of it, then you have your community gathering place. And
it's all based around beer.
All politics happen from there, and everything good.
Smile makers.
Hey, that's Jay Steinhauer from American Beer. He's here, too.
Good evening.
All right. We got a full table here tonight. A lot of things have been going on this month, and as many of you know. And we're going to raise our glass to Ray Dieter. I have to do that. Good co-host passed away. We love you,
yes,
Ray. And to his family. And special events going on. August 1st, DBA Brooklyn, there will be a special Ray Dieter benefit to benefit his children. We'll be organizing that. You can best way to keep track of that is to go to Facebook, check out DBA Brooklyn. And there's already a ticket link. You can, from $20 to $500, you can be part of that.
Very cool.
There'll be a lot of cool people. Well, here we are. Back on Beer Sessions Radio. Jen Swartman, great regular guest on the show.
It's always good to be here.
Tell us about, you had some cool things, Green Flash. What was that called? Green Flash.
The Green Flash does Jen Swartman.
Green Flash, Jen does Green Flash?
And
no,
boy,
it was the Green Flash Jen Swartman Bar Tour, and it was really fun. Mike and Lisa Hinckley, who own Green Flash, got in touch, and they said they were going to be in town. Their son was going to be at football camp, so while they were here, maybe they should just throw their beer on at all three bars where I bartend and follow me around. And I was, of course, game. So it was great. We had Green Flash, great beer on tap at two bars that don't normally carry that brand. So there were a lot of people who became aware of them. And it got some of the beer geeks to like move around outside of their normal comfort zone, I guess. And then the Blind Tiger, we had seven great beers. We had something called Sugar Smack nobody had ever had before. And fizzy yellow beer and things like that. So it was really fun. And they had a good time, and I had a blast.
I think Green Flash beer is awesome.
Oh, yeah. I mean, what I love about them is the fact that while they're known for their hops, people are always amazed when they try their stouts or their Belgian styles, and they're like, wow, they really can do anything
like
well.
Like you were talking about the Sugar Smack, and that was a double, I believe, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a Belgian double with, Muscovado, or I don't know, some kind of sugar. And I was afraid it might be sweeter than my palate is usually accustomed to, and instead it was just like pulled off beautifully.
It,
so
it really did taste like the bottom of a bowl of Sugar Smacks or Honey Smacks.
It wasn't that sweet.
With
it really was not that sweet.
Cut with a lot of malt. you know, and on top of it, maybe you poured a little malt extract and shed over from your homebrew or something.
Sugar
like that.
Smack.
Yeah. It was amazing. I like the humor, too.
You know what's funny? I've actually had some customers coming into Jimmy's 43 recently asking for the good old days of Belgian candied sugar beers. Mm. You know, we've been doing so many like hop things and session beers. Well, they're like, oh, I want this beer. I'm like, oh, you just want like a good old Belgian beer that has like candied sugar.
But those still exist right alongside, you know? I mean, that's the great thing about having so many wonderful beer bars in New York right now is that, you know, most lists, they cover a lot of bases. So, you know, two friends, one wants to go crazy with the hops and another wants to go Belgian and dark and strong and complex and sweet. And those beers are there. So we're lucky in New York. We get lots of beer from everywhere.
You know, Green Flash is really cool. They're based in San Diego. Mm-hmm. When I met them a couple of years ago, they had a cool story. I think they originally started trying to make that real West Coast super hoppy, super strong beer.
Actually,
and they got mellowed out, right?
Well,
they got into Belgian, a little bit of Belgian.
I mean, what really happened was they kind of, Mike and Lisa sort of, it's a long story, but they ended up winning in a court battle. They ended up winning a big storage unit of brewing equipment. And we're like, well, I guess we're going into brewing. And so they found a brewer. I don't know who that guy was. And what he did was not really impressive. It was all very simple. It didn't stand up to what was going on in San Diego even back then. So then they found Chuck Silva, who is their brewmaster. And it was like a match made in heaven because Chuck, with his experience, already knew what to do with hops, and he just started wowing people. So that's his first love. But he can do anything, and that's what he's proving again and again. So it's always fun to see what he pulls out.
But how did they? I mean, I know there is a story there, and they did tell me that they started out making, you know, whatever they were making, and then one day the light went off, and they wanted to make some Belgian style beers.
Yeah, and Chuck is capable of anything, and they were like, let's broaden this. You know, it doesn't have to be as tight. So now, people were amazed when the Blind Tiger, a year and a half ago, had 33 different Green Flash beers on tap.
That's a lot.
And people were blown away that they even make that many because we get so few on a regular basis. But yeah, it's, you know, name a beer, they can make it great. Yeah.
I love Green Flash.
Yeah.
It's awesome. You know, on the label, there's the Green Flash. Do you know what the Green Flash means?
Yes.
What is it?
Green Flash is that phenomenon on the West Coast over the ocean where right at the very millisecond when the sun drops completely below the horizon, people see a bright green flash of light. And people try very hard to witness this thing. So what are you doing over there? I'm talking science or something.
We're talking
like
science.
We think science is funny.
No, anyway, it's named after that. So it's a West Coast reference, and a lot of people don't understand. It's not Green Lantern. It's Green Flash. But
I have seen the Green Flash before.
Oh, you have?
I have.
Where were you?
I was in I was in Long Beach, I believe.
Oh, okay.
I was not in San Diego.
Did you know what it was when you saw it? You just were like, what the hell was that? Was it bright?
Yep.
I'm curious. I've just never seen it.
Yeah, I mean, I caught like kind of the tail end of it. Somebody sort of like hit me on the shoulder, like, look.
And how long did it last?
I don't know. I saw it for maybe 5 seconds.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Something like that?
I haven't seen it. I didn't grow up on the beach. I'm from the West.
I was lucky. I was down from Seattle.
That's cool.
All right.
So there you go.
That's Green Flash.
Little lesson.
I like that.
All right. I got Jay Steinhauer here from American Beer, which is one of the coolest small beer distributors in New York City.
We're still here.
I know. Well, you're more than still here. You guys, every few years, you guys bring along the next new cool craft brewery, and you nurse them along as they grow.
That's right.
So what are some of the new stuff that you have? I mean, you've got some really interesting small craft breweries.
We just got some stuff hitting right now. We've been working with Cottrell's for about a year and a half now out of...
I thought it was Cottrell.
Well, they say Cottrell.
Do they really?
Yeah. That's what the gentleman says
on
the other end. That's what he says on the other end of the phone.
Jen and Sean, what state is Cottrell's from?
The state of good beer.
Connecticut?
Connecticut.
Correct.
Right. Like I said,
I don't know where in Connecticut. My Connecticut geography is.
They're in Pawcatuck. I haven't gotten up there personally.
So it's like kind of near Mystic River.
Yeah. Yeah, they do a beer called Mystic IPA to commemorate that bridge that's up there. We just got a summer ale from them though, which I haven't tasted yet.
How old is the brewery? How long have they been around?
I want to say 16 years sounds about right, but they were really small. They were a regional producer for all that time, and they really only started to venture out of market I guess about a year and a half or so ago when we picked them up. I know for a fact that they do a lot of contract brewing out there, which is one of the things I'm really interested about what they do is we've gotten two beers out of them this entire time. That's their... They made one beer for a dozen years. For the last 3 years, they made an IPA. Old Yankee was the flagship.
Old Yankee.
Time.
I like that. It's like a nice pale ale, kind of hoppy.
Yeah. It's
frisky.
Are you saying that it's a production brewery, not a brew pub?
It's a production brewery. They have
and
their
they
own...
still didn't get it to New York until the last year and a half.
Correct.
So what was their market before then? I mean, how was it all just Connecticut?
Connecticut, Rhode Island.
Huh.
Mostly, yeah. But
did
now...
did they expand their brewery in preparation?
Yeah, I know. I think they did actually do more expansion. And I know now that they're doing contract brewing, there's several brew pubs that they're making beer for in Connecticut and Rhode Island. And one of the things I've always been interested about working with these folks is to get them up and going for us here in this market. And then possibly look at the other things that they're making, saying, you want to send in a couple other labels from these, you know, little establishments. And, you know, again, if I have 8 kegs to play with in New York City, that's kind of fun.
Yeah.
Jay, you just poured me something from a growler, and I'd like a refill, please.
Oh, yeah. This is the...
What is it?
This is the Blonde Bombshell from McNeil's Brewing in Brattleboro, Vermont.
So our buddy Ray McNeil.
They've been around for a long time.
Ray McNeil, the wacky wizard of the north, as I like to call him. He makes excellent beer, and he's a very interesting gentleman.
So I hear. I've never met the guy.
Yeah. No, I dropped in a couple months ago unexpectedly and found him sitting at his bar.
So where is he?
Off.
In Vermont.
Yeah. He's in Brattleboro. So from New York City, it's probably about a 3.5-hour drive. But it's a very cute town. A lot of cool little shops, very homey feeling, and a couple good restaurants in there. But the reason I go is because there's this really good beer up there.
Yeah, that's reason
and
enough.
And he's been about on the same timeline for us as Cottrell's was. So we picked him up about a year and a half ago at this point. And Ray's great. He has a wide range of beers. He's had this brew pub up there for, I think, pushing
long
20
time.
Years now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's toast to Ray right now.
To Ray McNeil
Let's
and Ray
drink
Dieter.
To Ray.
The other
Ray.
Ray
McNeil
the
and
other Ray.
Ray. Hey, can I have a refill of Ray McNeil's beer? This is like this is the drinking show.
Yeah, I know.
We're warming up for a philosophy
Woo!
Lesson, but this is pretty cool.
This is really good.
Can I tell you about the McNeils? He came down last year. We did an event for Craft Beer Week, and Ray McNeil came down. A cool guy. I hear he plays cello. Mm-hmm. He's like a very talented...
He's a concert cellist, isn't that
that's
right?
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
What is the name of this beer again?
This is called the Blonde Bombshell. This is a blonde ale, but he doesn't really do it in the fashion of a Belgian. It's almost not as sweet. Most of his beers are definitely in the vein of English brewing. And
I usually think of blonde ale as being, you know, in American craft brewing, mm-hmm. traditionally has been... more of a reference to being an ale-producing brewery who wants to do a Pilsner.
I think you're right.
But can't take on the whole lagering because it's just too expensive
right.
and time-consuming. So instead, they kind of created this other style that's like blonde ale mm-hmm. that is as light as they can get it as an ale.
I would agree with that. I actually think that's a reason why a lot of, in the last maybe couple of years, you've seen smaller micros stateside do Kolsch's because it's...
Yeah.
It's ranging into that easy
I'm
drinking arena
there,
that
there
Pilsner.
There haven't been more of them in history, you know, in American craft.
I always thought that Kolsch was a lager, but it's not. It's actually made as an
it's
ale.
It's a German ale. Yeah. It's one of the crossovers.
Right, but it kind of behaves like a lagered beer in a sense. It's the way it drinks.
It's definitely.
Right. It's very light,
it's
crisp.
Cleaner. And
it's
crisp, too.
Yeah,
which,
it's crisp,
You know, which this blonde ale is not. I mean, it's light and it's easy drinking, but it's not crisp like a German lager.
But what gives that beer that crispness? I mean, I know ales are they're faster fermenting.
Well, let's ask Sean since it works for a big
I
mean, because Sean, Victory Brewing is one of the best lagering.
Why should I go lager when I can drink a blonde ale?
Well, we do both. You know, at Victory, we are known, of course, for Prima Pilsner, which I think we're drinking in front of us now. So let's actually cheers to Prima Pilsner.
Yeah, I will drink to that beer.
I mean, actually, just to go a little. Story lesson behind. I mean, speaking of all the great breweries that American brought in, they brought in Victory.
That's true.
And we were with them for several years until we moved away. We just got bigger.
Bigger britches.
Well, you know, I mean, once you start increasing your brewery size, you have to, you know, that's all. But we love the relationship we have with Joe and everybody, and we wouldn't be where we are today without them. So anyway, but Prima Pils,
Let's give one more shout out. So American Beer, you're known in the industry. American Beer is a distributor.
Correct.
You guys also have a shop.
Yeah, we do retail as well. So we fill growlers for the public.
Is it called American?
Yeah, it's American. Or back thrifty. Back in the day, they used to be a buying group with a bunch of retailers, I would say. The term is kind of used differently in different markets. But
it was called like Thrifty Beverage.
It used to be Thrifty Beverage, so there's probably about a dozen in Brooklyn.
Yeah, they're all around. I've seen them.
So there was a buying group back in the day. We're not really, there's no tight affiliation any longer.
How it started? Is that?
Well, no, they actually got into that probably in the late 70s, early 80s. The gentleman I work for, Joe, his grandfather started American in the 40s, just after the Second World War. So it was Joe's grandfather was selling ice and coal in Cobble Hill, and then he transitioned into selling beer.
Oh, wow.
And opened up a retail shop there. And back in the day, it wasn't like, a huge semi would pull up, from the big Bud distributor, whatever, like they would drop it off at these kind of guys, and people like us would service their neighborhoods. And so instead of people using huge distributors, they would use these little local stops that they would buy direct from manufacturers. And so there wasn't the distribution.
So if I had a bar in Cobble Hill, I would have called up Joe, and he would bring over the beers that I wanted.
You would have called Joe Senior.
Joe Senior.
But there were competitors also. So there was a distributor that was still existing on Pacific Street when I started working over at American several years ago that eventually closed up, and I think a lot of their business was referred over to a place in Queens. But now we're still there, and those guys, I think they pretty much moved out because of the real estate value went up on their property, and so now it's. Last time I walked by there, it's apartments.
Well, I'll say this. American Beer has for a long time, you can agree with me, been selling some good stuff. And everything from Captain Lawrence to
Avery,
I've learned about from you guys.
Sure.
So yeah. We're going to take a short break. We're going to come back with a very cool guest and talk about Philosophy of Tap on Beer Sessions Radio.
I can't wait.
Uptown got its hustlers. Bowery got its bumps. 42nd Street got Big Jim Walker. He a bull shooting son of a gun. Yeah, he big and dumb as a man can come, but he's stronger than a country horse. And when the bad folks all get together at night, you know they all call Big Jim Ball just because. And they say you don't tug on Superman's cape, you don't spit into the wind, you don't pull a mask off an old Lone Ranger, and you don't mess around with Jim. I don't do that. Dee-dee-dee-dee-dee. Well, out of South Alabama come a country boy, said I'm looking for a man named Jim. I am a bull shooting boy, my name is Willie McCoy, but down at home they call me Slim. Hey, I'm looking for the king of 42nd Street. He drive on a drop-top Cadillac. Last week he took all my money, and it may sound funny, but my money back, and everybody say Jack, don't you know you don't tug on Superman's cape, you don't spin into the wind, you don't pull the mask off an old Lone Ranger, and you don't mess around with Jim.
Hello, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carboni. It's July 19th, 2011, and we're here in Roberta's Restaurant in Bushwick, Brooklyn. Roberta's is a very cool place. They treat us well. They're home to all the Heritage Radio Network shows and this great studio here in the back. Roberta's is an awesome place. Come check it out in Bushwick. So I'm here with Jen Swartman, Jay Steinhauer, and Sean McCain, awesome in-studio guests, regulars on Beer Session Radio.
Hi-yo. Yeah.
And we've got a call-in guest named Matt Lawrence, who just wrote a book called Philosophy of Tap, Pint-Sized Puzzles for the Pub Philosopher. Hi, Matt. How are you?
Hey, Jimmy. Thanks for having me on.
Well, we've been looking forward to talking to you all week. Our producer, Bree O'Connor, provided us with the book. I lost mine, of course. But Jay Steinhauer read it cover to cover.
And he quizzed us.
I crammed for a test last night.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So you teach in Long Beach, is that right?
Yeah, I teach at Long Beach City College.
Oh, right. And how long have you been doing that?
I've been here about 13 years.
Yeah.
And it's a community college, so I do all intro classes, which really gives me a great opportunity to learn to try and get philosophical ideas out to
break it down to the basics. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. That's, and so you set out to write a book. And
yeah, this is actually my second book. Okay. My first book was on the philosophy of the Matrix films.
Oh, really?
And then this one, Philosophy on Tap, is 48 pint-sized philosophical puzzles, each one paired with a different great beer.
It's a great idea.
You know, The Matrix was on AMC last night, and I caught a little bit of that, too. How pertinent.
Yeah, that's what I've been teaching my intro philosophy class. We do a Matrix philosophy for the last number 5 or 6 years. It's been a lot of fun.
And this is your job.
Yeah.
You got a cool job, man.
Yeah. But I don't. At least I don't get to drink beer on the job. That's the downside.
Yeah,
but
I bet you got spoiled.
Didn't you drink beer researching the book?
Oh, there was plenty of research to do for sure for the book. Yeah, I had to pick out 48 beers to go with these puzzles, and there's just so many possibilities. It kept me busy.
So, did you set out to pair this all with beer, or did it evolve into that?
Yeah, it sort of evolved into that. I had been working on the book for a little while, and I'd sort of lost steam a little bit. I'd done a lot of writing, and then I kind of left it for a little bit, and I was just getting back into it and feeling like, I need some kind of overarching theme for this. And the funny thing is I was on my way out to a meditation retreat, and I don't know if I even realized it at the time, but I was driving right by the Stone Brewery
Escondido.
When the idea hit me of these are really pint-sized puzzles that would go great, each short little puzzle with a beer, and it became Philosophy on Tap after that.
Well, you took it out of the classroom and you brought it into the pub where it's a little bit easier to examine in a sense.
Yeah, and I mean, my whole point about the book from the start was to kind of make it a discussion book. Each chapter is really short so that you can read it in just a couple of minutes and have an hour-long discussion about it. So I'm hoping that we'll get lots of good philosophical discussions going on at the pubs.
So, Matt, since you've got this awesome book, I've got a great idea for you. Let's just go off book right now. let's say you come into New York and you're going to come to one of our cool Good Brew Seal bars like Jimmy's Number 43, and we've got a little group together, and they want to talk to you. What would you do with a live group who haven't read your book? How would you talk to them about what you're talking about?
Yeah, well, actually, I mean, that's on my to-do list. That's my main thing is I really want to set up some philosophy
tour
talks
in pubs.
To do at
perfect.
I expect an
at
invite.
Pubs, at breweries, and so forth. I like to do. I use some pretty creative, I think, PowerPoints for my teaching with lots of interesting visuals. So I've been putting together some beer and philosophy images to go with these sorts of talks. So I'd like to, you know, what I've got in mind is sort of to cover maybe 5 different philosophical puzzles over 5 beers in an evening. Not full size beers.
No, that sounds like fun.
Yeah.
But I love the puzzles that I read there, and I like the idea that it just poses a question for discussion, because that's what's happened, you know, in pubs for centuries. It's all about
conversation. It's a great pub idea. You know, here's a question that we have for you. Could you explain the dilemma presented in Mill's Drunkard, and why you paired it with Samuel Smith's Oatmeal Stout?
Oh,
and we have oatmeal stout here in our glasses. Let's raise our glasses.
Oh, yes.
Matt Lawrence, philosopher, author, and beer lover.
I'm jealous here. I'm glassless. I've got a little water here.
I said, where's yours, man?
Sean, what'd you say?
Oh, no, that wasn't me, but I say, where is yours, man? Come on.
Yeah. Well, actually, radio. Right after this interview, I'm off to the pub meeting
perfect.
A friend. Well, to start with the pairing with this, for the Mills Drunkard, I wanted a beer. This is a puzzle about pleasure and what are we looking for in pleasures and what's pleasure consist of. So I wanted a beer that I really enjoy, one of my earliest favorite beers. When I really first started getting into beers, I loved the Sam Smith's Oatmeal Stout.
That's
so
great.
I just chose that one as kind of a personal favorite. But the other thing that I thought was appropriate for this puzzle is this is sort of a puzzle dealing with the intellectual pleasures versus the bodily pleasures.
Yep.
And the nice thing about the Sam Smith's Oatmeal Stout is it's pretty low alcohol, so you can get those bodily pleasures without impairing your rational aspect too much.
I like that
angle.
Jay's one of our guests. Jay has the book right now, The Philosophy on Tap. Jay, open up. Let's read about Mills Drunkard. This is
we're going off in another direction
right now.
Explain
it. Yeah.
I think one of the things that I was really interested in, though, you picked some really good, interesting regional beers that weren't, you know, distributed nationwide, or, you know, you got to be in certain locales to find. And, you know, some of them I've tried and some of them I haven't. So there's probably, I'd say 85% of the beers that you write about in the book I've probably sampled, but there's still some that leaves, I'm a beer enthusiast, and there still leaves some anticipation left behind while you're still, you know, reading about the, you know, the moral question that's being posed as well. You know what I mean? And so that leads more into...
Two searches, right?
Yes, there are two searches going on.
You got your philosophical and your
and
taste.
Your practical beer search.
Yeah, yeah. I tried to kind of give a balance of beers. There's a number of beers that are pretty easy to find that I figure somebody new to the craft beer scene, well, they've tried some of these more popular world beers, at least, I know that, and ooh, these look interesting. And then there's some, beers that are pretty esoteric and hard to find in a lot of parts of the country that kind of give some people something to put on their bucket list, you know.
Exactly.
Beers to drink before you die.
Yeah.
So Jay opened to the chapter on Mills Drunkard. Let's just go. This is cool. You get Mills Drunkard, and somehow it's paired with oatmeal stout. Well, let's just like
we don't need to
minutes.
Read from the book.
Yeah. I'm not gonna read, but we can talk from the book.
Sure.
The gist is making a choice between hedonism and enjoying consumption in all forms, or choosing the intellectual pursuit.
The thing that Mill was a guy who thought that basically pleasure or happiness is the only thing that's good in life. And so he had these critics coming at him. We typically refer to it as the swine objection. It's basically telling him your philosophy's fit for pigs. You know, if pleasure is all that matters, we might as well
just roll in the mud, have a lot of sex, and
lead a piggish life. And Mill wanted to resist that. And so one thing I should point out, that in the book I do some little... What I call them pub stretches, where sometimes I'll quote a philosopher, but I might change
twist
a word or
slightly.
Two.
Yeah.
And I inform you later about any ways that I've misled you, but it kind of makes it more fun and ties it into
beer. If you drink too much beer one night, then maybe they'll have to Descartes you out.
Nice.
When I was thinking about that one, the Mills... you know, conundrum. And I thought, the world needs both. You need the people who choose the hedonism and you need the intellectuals, because if it were just hedonists, then there wouldn't be any good beer to drink, because God knows brewing is a scientific, very intellectual pursuit on many levels. And so you've got to have those people who make that their passion so that there's something great for all of us hedonists to sit back and drink.
Yeah, but then there's still the question, well, should we become drunkards then? And so to get out of that, Mill...
Why not?
Well, Mill used a little thought experiment, and he said, well, would you choose to be a pig if you could have the fullest life of pig's pleasures? And, of course, nobody wants to trade even for the best pig's life.
Right.
But I worry maybe we're just prejudiced against pigs. So he says, suppose instead, then, in a little thought experiment I had, that a genie will turn you into a total drunk. But one, if you maybe remember the old Arthur movie, not the remake, but the old Dudley Moore, you'd be this happy-go-lucky drunk.
Right.
Suppose it'll turn you into total drunk, but one who's impervious to hangovers or liver disease. And moreover, you'll get free food, lodging, and drinks at every tavern in town. Would you take that sort of trade?
Bliss.
Hell yeah.
Where you achieve nothing.
Mill
your time
thinks
on the
you're
planet
not
is
take
fun.
It. So here's my slightly altered quote from Mill. He says, "It's better to be a human being dissatisfied than a pig satisfied. Better to be Socrates dissatisfied than a drunkard satisfied."
That was his ultimate conclusion.
And if the drunkard or the pig are of a different opinion, it's because they only know their side of the question. The other party of the comparison knows
both sides.
And they're
wasted.
You know, so, I'm going to take this beyond the philosophy into the actual reality. Is that I find often when I am a drunkard at night, I wake up with extra energy and I want to get more done.
You said when.
What?
But see, the thing is that we don't have to make this decision where it's one or the other. And hopefully you find an integration.
That's
but,
true.
But if you had to choose, then it is kind of an interesting question. Which the book is about, you know?
Well, that's one of the things.
And Mill uses that to say that, therefore, the intellectual pleasures are just hands down better than the bodily pleasures. You wouldn't want to be a pig. You wouldn't want to be the
toad
drunkard. So the intellectual pleasures are best.
Well, what happens, Matt? What happens when the professor goes to the pub at night? Is he still a professor?
Yeah, he's still a professor, and he's
Thanks
drunk.
For laughing.
He's still professing.
No,
does he still have to think, or does he stop thinking?
In the classroom.
The whole point is that you have to pick an absolute, Jimmy. And so, which absolute would you pick? You
my
can't have no gray area. No gray
life
area.
Has been about
okay.
Drinking yeah, and
you're,
pubbing.
You're wallowing in gray area right now.
where I think Mill goes wrong on this, he uses that to what he thinks prove the intellectual pleasures are better. He doesn't give us the flip side. You know, what if the genie's got this other opportunity? He tells you he will change you into a total genius. You'll be smarter than Einstein.
Sure.
But you'll never taste another beer again.
Never have sex again. No beer.
To do that, we're going to have to make you just a brain in a vat. You won't be able to experience any of the bodily pleasures. You'll just interface with people on your computer.
That's what I like about
your
book. You pose the question.
Would you take that trade?
Yeah, you pose the question like to us. Like it's almost like, okay, that could be understood by everybody when they pose it. But you continue to ask the question and kind of put it into terms that everyday beer drinker would kind of...
Right.
Ponder,
like such as what is the problem of evil?
Yes, Matt, we're going to keep you on the line for another session. We're going to take a little break and come back and talk to you about the problem of evil on Beer Sessions Radio.
Service announcement from Heritage Radio Network. Tune in to Hot Grease every Monday at 3:30 p.m. Hot Grease strives to bring sustainability, localized sourcing, and other forward-thinking schools of culinary thought to the minds and kitchens of everyday folk. Each week, Nicole Taylor's conversations cover the entire spectrum of food enthusiasts, from internationally renowned culinary masters to moms on a budget looking to impress their tiniest critics. Again, that's every Monday at 3:30 p.m., Hot Grease on the Heritage Radio Network.
All right. Give a big shout-out to Nicole Taylor, Hot Grease, Heritage Radio Network. So many good shows and more every few months. Great music. Bree O'Connor had some buddies out in Minnesota who made that little tune. I don't know who they are. Who was that band, Bree?
The Serapulis.
Yeah, sure, you betcha.
Yeah. Minnesota. Okay. We love you. All right, back with Matt Lawrence here on Beer Sessions Radio. Matt, you are really getting us going. Sean McCain from Victory was thumbing through your book and said, wow, here's a chapter where you mention a Victory Hop Devil IPA.
One,
pretty
also,
cool.
The question of good and evil, and certainly the Hop Devil being misrepresented always as being an evil thing, when really could
Matt,
be quite good.
Maybe a good way to kick off the problem of evil. For every problem in the book, every little conundrum starts with a blurb about the pint of the puzzle. And so for the problem of evil, it's Victory Hop Devil, which I happened to enjoy one of those last night.
In California.
Speak of the devil.
Let's take a stop break here. Matt, let's take a step back. First of all, you're in Long Beach. That's in California, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And you get Victory beers out there regularly?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
I actually live, I work in Long Beach. I live in Costa Mesa, and I am just about 2 miles away from about the best beer selection in the West.
What's the name of that?
Western
that
U.S.
Place?
The High Time Cellars.
Ooh,
I like that name, High Times. Yeah, baby.
Yeah, they're a huge wine store, but they also have just a enormous beer selection, and one of the things I love is they keep all their beer cold, big walk-in cooler. And we've also got a deal. I talked to them before the book came out and arranged a deal where you can actually go on the High Times website, and they've got a Philosophy on Tap beer pack.
It's like a checklist.
You can get a couple of 12 packs or a case
the
of the beers for the puzzle.
Sounds like a nice gift
that's
idea.
Great.
I think so.
Wow.
That's really cool.
So you're saying that's such a good store. You have East Coast beers, West Coast beers. Do you have a lot of Belgian beers too?
Yeah. A few in the book, and they carry a lot there. One of my favorites, the La Trappe Quadruple, I use for Time's Conundrum. Since time is sort of the fourth dimension, and quadruples are sort of the fourth dimension of beers.
So. Very clever.
So this store's kind of been your partner in the book.
Yeah, it's been a lot of help. There's a guy there named Alex who just has such a wealth of knowledge about beer. So he kind of usually come in and say, well, what's the hot new thing? Or, you know, what's a good Hefeweizen? Or, you know, what have you. So it's great to be able to rely on them for advice on beer.
Do they pour growlers there by chance?
I've learned a lot about beer these last couple of years, for sure.
Do they pour growlers there by chance, or is it all
no,
packaged beer?
No, they're just a bottle shop.
Can you get growlers at bottle shops, like places like that, in California?
I don't know if it's legal. They, you know, the breweries, you can do growler fills.
Yeah,
I haven't seen it anywhere but the breweries.
It's amazing. Yeah, that's something that's
American
taken
beer.
Off in New York.
Yeah.
Like American beer distributors.
Let's go back to the book because we're getting off book.
We sure.
All right.
So well, Victory Hop Double. Let me start out this whole problem of evil with, I'll show you how I tie in the beer. So Hop Devil IPA is our pint of the puzzle. And the little tie-in is, why do good beers go bad? Why do bad beers exist at all? This is a perennial puzzle that's confounded by the assumption that an all-good God exists. Some chalk it up to the devil. They say he's responsible for all the evil in the world. Hop Devil, on the other hand, is a force for good. Mm-hmm. Hop Devil IPA from Victory Brewing of Pennsylvania brings joy and beauty into the lives of beer lovers everywhere.
Can we get a little what to Downeytown, Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
Yeah. So from there, we just get into the conundrum of, why does evil exist? Why are there skunky beers? Why do good beers go bad? If there really is a God that is all good and cares about us,
then
how do we explain the evil in the world?
Well, I mean, also the characters of evil seem a little bit different. I mean, I've always kind of seen, like, you know, Satan seems worse than Lucifer in a sense, that Lucifer is the illuminator rather than, you know, Satan is the one that's, you know, down there in the bowels of hell, so to speak.
Yeah, and so many people say, well, Satan, there's your solution. You know, Satan running amok. But if God is really all-powerful, couldn't God squash Satan like a grape?
I think it's a matter of balance, which happens in beer also, where you've got to have your balance between all your ingredients, and in the universe, you've got to have balance between good and evil, equal and opposite forces.
Guys,
yeah,
my beer panel here. Matt,
Eastern yin-yang solution.
Yeah,
Matt,
there you go.
Quick, I'm going to jump in. So, let's just go into our beer panel, and you can join in, Matt. Now you're on a beer panel. So this is one beer panel now. And I've noticed that in Belgium, there's a reference to devil a lot. And you may see, like, there's Spuitendijl in New York, and there's there's a word devil in a lot of, like, Belgian-related beers. Where does that come from?
Why do they
put the devil in a beer?
Wow, Jimmy.
The devil made...
Nobody knows that answer.
That question.
I think there's a lot of connotation about people drinking too much and then they behave in a way that they wouldn't normally have done if they were not imbibing. And
but
often,
do you know that, or are you just...
Well, they say... I mean, why do they call it spirits? You know what I mean? Like, what's in there, man? Like, what is it that's doing it to us that's bringing
but I mean,
us...
I mean, you had a lot to say about it, Matt, but I mean, you know... I mean, well, Sean, why did they name the beer Hop Devil?
Hop Devil was like, yeah, talk about that.
Hop Devil is actually a mythical creature that, and the full story behind it, I think you can find a little bit more of it on the website. But it, you know, it basically it'll go. This is during the hop harvest. The Hop Devil would go through, and if you had a good harvest, you might find the Hop Devil. And if you had a really good harvest, then it might end up in your beer.
Ah, so it was a good thing. So the Hop Devil was
which culture was this?
Force.
Germany.
It's Germanic.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The Germans were the ones who made all those crazy, twisted fairy tales too. So it makes sense.
There's nothing. No one has anything else to say about why devil gets used so often.
Like, it became a good tie-in that alcohol has these spirits that literally go into you and change you. I think that's maybe the key tie-in.
Maybe they broached the duality of us. You know what I mean? You're one person at one moment, and then later tomorrow, when you're trying to explain your actions from last night, well, that got
it
into
must
me.
Have been
the devil made
devil.
Me do it.
Like, you know, truth be told, I drank too much, and then I said all the stuff that I shouldn't have.
So it doesn't seem like a good way to promote your beer.
No, it's their beer because it's delicious. But I don't know. Maybe beer in general, that there's still the allure for all of us.
So, Matt, how far can I go? How bad can I be? I mean, now with philosophy, forget dualities. Philosophy,
you can do anything you want.
Let's assume you're a judge and a wise person. And, you know, you might give me a break down the line at the gates. I did something really bad last night. I was really drunk. And today I have to apologize to several people. How bad can I get?
That's not the question that's being asked.
We have to go with his book and go beyond.
Okay.
that kind of reminds me, though, of another puzzle in the book on Nietzsche's eternal recurrence, where he has this idea that, you know, what if you had to live your life exactly the same way, beginning to end, over and over, and you can't change a thing?
Sure. Yeah.
And in The Unbearable Lightness of Being, Milan Kundera writes, if every second of our lives recurs an infinite number of times, we're nailed to eternity as Jesus Christ was nailed to the cross. It's a terrifying prospect in the world of eternal return. The weight of unbearable responsibility lies heavy on every move we make. So it's kind of like these bad that you do. Well, it wasn't only the bad that you did this once.
You're going to have to
be repeated over and over and over. But it seems to me,
I would think twice about some nights then, Jimmy, if that were the case.
But when I follow that up with, it seems though that the good that Jimmy does would also recur over and over and over.
And
I think if he's going to be off the hook in the end, maybe it'll depend on how much good Jimmy's done.
Well, we're taping his good
once
right
again
now.
The balance.
But is the beer the license? You know what I mean? Is that the thing that lets you go off the end and say, well, I'm just, you know, going to blame it on the drink.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a scapegoat.
Well, I think people still approach it like that. I mean, there's a moment that's not what we're looking for, but if we're still branding them like that, we're still naming our beers after that, there is that sense in ourselves that we identify with.
Well, some of it is tradition.
And you're not going to go full bore, but on the other hand, even one drink is enough to kind of get a little sense of that and feel like, well, I'm going to live my life a little bit and...
We still name our beers after the
devil.
We
still name them after demonic things.
Well, Jen, how about this, Jen?
Tradition in
Belgium.
What's
the worst thing that you ever did that you can tell us on air?
Are you kidding? Why are you cornering me like this? That's ridiculous.
Tone down for, you know.
Which time? I mean,
this is the last month.
Yeah.
That is an infinite set.
Okay, Jay, what?
Good girl.
Did you do anything bad that you got away with because you were drinking, Jay?
Of course.
Like what? Come on.
I mean,
stayed out too late.
Stayed out too late.
Okay.
Stayed up way too late. Drank one too many. I mean, it's actually most of the good times that I have remember thinking that's like, well, I'm getting away with it, involve conversation with good people while I'm drinking. It's much like this book kind of inspires out of you. It's more of a conversational thing that I feel like I'm getting away with people at the wrong hours than it is doing dastardly deeds. I mean, I like
I'm not
going
to ask Sean McCain because
you know,
Sean's really quiet over
Matt,
there.
Sean, if you can see him, Sean's got that beard. He's got that
he's
devil's
bright
beard.
Bright red, and he's stepping
and he does
away
this
from the
every...
microphone.
Let's just say I'm divorced. I never got away with any of it, all right?
He was caught.
But for you, Matt, let's take it back to Matt, because Matt...
I kind of like the way that you're going to your other guest there, Jimmy, on this one.
All right, Sean.
Yeah.
Sean's got this little goatee. It looks like he's a devil.
I am the human hop devil.
He was one, at one time a theater dude, so you know the ladies love him.
Oh, yeah.
He's up many nights a week, leading some... let's give you some throwdown to you, bro.
Oh, wow.
Sean McCain, Victory Brewing, rep in New York City. If he does an event, you have to check it out. He's one of the most interesting and most educated people about beer that I know in the city.
Well, I'll extend it to New York State and Connecticut, because that's...
So what are some of the really good events that you're hosting so that others can meet you?
Oh my!
And debauch with you.
Well, this month is a nice little low month for me because we're about ready to get into August, which is where I'm going to be in Ithaca for Ithaca Beer Festival on September 3rd, and then I'll be up in Buffalo for Buffalo Brew Fest on the 5th. I'm doing my little tour of the great Western New York. BCTC, you'll be able to see me as the
Belgium closest. Comes to Cooperstown.
Yeah.
We're going to have to give a shout out.
BCTC is.
Matt, listen in if you want to hang with the cools.
Mm-hmm.
Weekend, the Oma Gang Festival, Belgium Comes to Cooperstown. July 28th.
It's the last
weekend
of July.
After next.
We're going to be there. Beer Sessions Radio is going to be there recording two live recordings.
Boom.
And it is really one of the coolest festivals in the Northeast for beer.
I think
highly recommend
potentially
it.
The
we camp,
world?
We drink, we eat.
We are just like having too much fun. Matt, last question for you, buddy, because you've really made... I'm thinking about a lot of new things I never thought of before, and thank you. What's the pub that you're about to go off to in your neighborhood? Where are you going to go for your drink?
Where am I going to go for my drink? Mm-hmm. I am going to go to the new Beechwood Barbecue Brewery.
Huh. Beechwood
Barbecue is a great little... place with a lot of craft beers on tap, but they've just opened up a new location and they've started brewing their own now.
And they're in Costa Mesa, or
in Long Beach.
They're in Long Beach. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And if Long Beach places to go too, let me add the Congregation Ale House is kind of a interesting one. They do kind of a religious theme with the stained glass windows and so
devil
forth.
Devil beers, mm-hmm. things
a little
like
more
that.
Of your devil. The guys wear little devil shirts. The
time to
the
worship.
The waitresses all wear Catholic schoolgirl outfits.
Oh, stop it!
And refer to themselves as brother
Doesn't
and
Blue fly to Long Beach?
And so forth. So it's a lot of fun. Too.
Seething with temptations. Wow.
So those are a couple of good places in Long Beach for sure.
All right, Jen. Any special events coming up the next couple of weeks?
No.
Nothing. Jay?
Uh-uh.
Nothing. Sean?
I already told you. BCTC.
BCTC.
Look there.
That's the big one.
Rochester.
We're all saving up our energy.
End of the
actually,
month.
We've got, we do have Christmas in July at the Blind Tiger tomorrow night, which is, we've been doing that forever.
That
and
is
it's
cool.
A bunch of Christmas beers. We've got a few Hanukkah beers. And come drink them because we, you know, when they linger too long in this heat, it gets to be hard. So we need to drink them.
And this is a midway of July Good Beer Month in New York City. Jimmy's number 43 this weekend. We got Barrier Brewing, the guys from Barrier, best brewery in New York State. They'll be at Jimmy's number 43 this Saturday.
Nice.
And another Christmas in July at Burp Castle. I guess everybody's got their winter beers they didn't sell. But that's okay.
Oh,
sorry. And Thursday, July 21st, Pretty Things will be at Barcade in Brooklyn.
Oh,
we've
yeah.
also recently received news that the Food Bank of New York City will be undergoing some major funding cuts. Sorry, guys. But you can go to the Great Hot Dog Cook-Off at Kelso Brewery this Saturday, July 23rd, and that money's going to the Food Bank in New York City. So check out goodbrewsteel.com for more events and activities. And next Tuesday, the real special event, it's the Keystone event that started July Good Beer Month. This will be the third year. It's a Good Beer at BAM, and it's originally co-created by the Good Beer Seal, and it's hosted by Edible Brooklyn.
What day?
Edible Manhattan. Next Tuesday, July 26th. It's sold out, but you should know about it because it's a really special event. And I can say... good night, guys. Thank you. Thank our sponsors, greatbrewers.com. Thanks to goodbeersteel.com. Thanks to Jay, Sean, Jen, and Matt for joining me here on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carboni. Thanks to our producers, Jack Inslee and Brie O'Connor. We'll be back next week on Beer Sessions Radio. Cheers to Ray Dieter.
Cheers to Ray.
Casually mention the fact that I like to drink beer. This little song is more to the point. Roll out the barrel and lend me your ears. I like beer. It makes me a jolly good fellow. I like beer.
This is Behind the Scenes Food News with Katie Kiefer. Removing barriers to better quality locally raised meats is one step further along the process. The Niche Meat Processor Assistance Network, or NMPAN, is connecting people across the country with information, tools, and each other. The organization is part of the Cooperative Extension Systems Extension, an internet-based collaborative learning service that consolidates the resources of the land-grant universities. The NMPAM affiliates are now available in almost 40 states and allow the co-coordinators to link people who need help with those who can offer it, such as extension staff members, state departments of agriculture, and markets with experience in small meat processing. They offer webinars, business plans, and hands-on help for processors or wannabe processors. More information is offered at their website, www.nichemeatprocessing.org. This has been Behind the Scenes Food News with Katie Kiefer.
Finger on the Pulse and City Winery are proud to present the Summer Barbecue Blowout Festival, August 6th, from noon to 4 p.m. The barbecue is happening at City Winery, located at 155 Varick Street in New York City. Restaurants featured at this event are Empire Mayonnaise, Van Dag, Momofuku Moat Bar, Imperial No. 9, Mile End, Mexico, Kraft, Dizzy's Club, Coca-Cola, The Meatball Shop, and Dos Toros. Providing the soundtrack for the day are Midnight Magic, Pewter Magic, New Villager, Punches, Ducky, DJ Autobot, and the Snacky Tune DJ. VIP and general admission tickets are available at citywinery.com. Finger on the Pulse for City Winery, we'd like to thank our sponsors, Heritage Foods USA, New York Magazine, Reka Vodka, Sonar, Smile, Guilt City, Sub-Zero, and Wolf. Please come out and join us for a day of fun, food, and dancing. For more information, go to www.fotpnyc.com.
Saturday, July 23rd, Bushwick Block Party.
Block Party.
It's a party in the street.
Free pizza by Roberta.
Death Killer Death Wrestling.
Featuring the legendary Mad Dog Tosto.
Photo Booth by Ryan Slack.
Water World.
Closed by
Chimera Dactyl.
Mary Meyer.
Lauren Bogart.
Death Killer.
Asphalt Resistant Jeans.
All types of food for your face.
Sweet soda by
P&A.
Roberta's Bake Sale.
Heritage Foods USA.
Orange Chaney Eating Contest
by the Orange Chaney Brothers.
Live music by
Alex Trujan.
Florida
Paper Twin.
Dang Sign.
The Netherlands.
Team Robespierre.
Wild Yak.
MC Todd and Bo Breezy.
Night Show.
Yeah, yeah.
Sponsored by
Martin Greenfield Clothers.
Green Fitness Studio.
Heritage Radio Network.
Free Williamsburg.
6 Point Beer.
Momo's
Sushi Shack.
Beer Box USA.
Planet of the Bates.
Bushwick Block Party. It's a party in the street.
All day long.